Okay, let's turn back to John chapter 14, and this morning we're looking at verses 7 through to 11 that we read a little while ago. John chapter 14, verse 7 to 11, you should have a sheet with an outline of what we're going to be thinking about this morning. So what is God really like? That's a question, isn't it? That's a great question. I mean, perhaps the greatest question we could ever ask and answer. What is God like? What is he really like? Well, what if we could actually see him? Well, that would be incredible, wouldn't it? If we could see God, what would he be like? Perhaps you think, if only I could see God, then, well, then I would believe. Then, you know, it would be enough if I could just see God, what he was really like. Then all my doubts would go away. Philip wanted to see what God was really like. He wanted to see God. That's why he makes that request that he does in verse 8. Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. With those words, Philip is saying, show us God. Show us what he's like. That will be enough. If we could just see the Father, well, all our doubts would go, and all our questions would go, and it would all be all right. But with that request, Philip is showing, isn't he, his failure to understand who Jesus is and what he's done in coming into this world. He's failed to see that the Father has made himself known in the greatest way possible. He's shown himself fully and completely, and he's done so in the very one who stood before Philip, in the very one that Philip is asking the question to. In Jesus. Perhaps your children remember in the Old Testament, Moses asked God a prayer, and he says, please show me your glory. It's in Exodus chapter 33, isn't it? A great request. And do you remember what Moses was allowed to see? Well, God puts him in a cleft of a rock and puts his hand over him, as it were, and goes by him, and Moses is allowed just to see the sort of trail of God's glory. And God speaks his name to Moses. That's nothing compared to what Philip's seen. Philip's really seen the ultimate answer to that prayer. Please show me your glory. He's seen the brightness of God's glory. He's seen the ultimate revelation of God's glory in Jesus Christ. And yet Philip hasn't yet realized what he's seen. I don't know if anyone's ever asked you know, sometimes skeptics do, atheists do, if there's a God, why doesn't he show himself? Why doesn't he just sort of pull back the heavens and say, here I am? Then it would all be clear, wouldn't it? It would all be over. I mean, perhaps even you think that. You know, why doesn't God just go, ta-da, here I am, believe? Well, of course, in one sense, we could be very thankful he doesn't do that, because if he did pull back the heavens and display his glory, this wicked world would be consumed in a moment, wouldn't it? And actually, that's what's going to happen at the end. The heavens are going to be rolled back, and God's glory is going to be seen, and all things are going to be brought to an end. Only the person that everyone will see and every knee will bow to is Jesus Christ in all his glory. And yet, of course, the answer to the question, why doesn't God show himself, firstly, is actually, he has. In the most amazing, glorious, and gracious way it's possible in Jesus Christ. The truth is, of course, I hope we all understand that God is a God who wants to be known. You know, he's not hiding. He's a God who wants to be known. The very reason he made this world and made us is that we might know him, that we might have a relationship with him, that we might wonder at him and glory in him. So everything around you today, friends, is the revelation of God. So the stars, you ever think, why did God not just stop with the sun? I mean, why make all the stars? I mean, you children know, don't you, there's millions and millions of them, there's galaxies and galaxies. I mean, why did he make it all? Well, because he's speaking to us, isn't he? They're declaring his glory. They're saying to us, every one of us here this morning, I'm bigger than you possibly realize, and greater than you could possibly realize. Well, why does he make everything beautiful? Why does he make us all different? Why does he make the flowers and they're so different? Well, because he's speaking to us, isn't he? He wants to make himself known that he's a God of beauty and complexity and variety. God wants to be known. And then he's spoken, hasn't he? God in time past spoke to his people by the prophets, the writer to the Hebrews starts off. Because we've been cut off from God by our sin and we don't know God, and so God has to come and speak, and so he gives his word to his prophets and they tell us this is what God's like, this is what he requires. And in the Old Testament we've got all the types and the shadows and the promises and the warnings, and so we know something of what God's like and we begin to see. And then of course ultimately he's displayed in his son Jesus. That's what we've seen in John, haven't we? I mean, I'm not in a sense telling you anything new this morning. We're told, aren't we, at the very beginning. You children understand. That's why he's called the Word, isn't he? Jesus is the Word, because he's the revelation of God. God has finally and completely spoken in his Son. So again, in chapter 1 of John, no one has seen God any time. None of us have seen God. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, who's come from the heart of the Father, he has declared him. So that's one of the themes of John. And we ought to have got it. But Philip reminds us that actually it's very easy to miss this. It's very easy to fail to see it, at least in its fullness. So Philip says, Lord, show us the Father and it's sufficient for us. Jesus has just been speaking, of course, about his Father's house, hasn't he? And about how he's going to prepare a place for them and how he's the only way to the Father. And so Philip says, show us the Father and it will be enough for us. Give us a glimpse. And how does Jesus reply? Look at verse 9. Have I been with you so long and yet you haven't known me, Philip? I mean, he spent all this time with Jesus. He's been listening to him and watching him, and he yet hasn't fully sunk in who Jesus is. He hasn't fully grasped it. And so Jesus says these staggering words. Look at verse 9. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? I mean, that's utterly amazing words, isn't it? If Jesus is saying to Philip, what do you mean, show us the Father? You've seen the Father. You, in a sense, you're looking at him now as you look at me. You couldn't have a better view of the Father. You couldn't have a clearer picture of what God's like. And then as you look at me, that's staggering, that's life-changing words if we grasp that. But they reveal the truth. It's easy for us to lose sight of this or miss this. You see, how completely has God revealed himself in Jesus? He's revealed himself so completely, so fully, that Jesus can say, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Or put elsewhere, isn't it? He's the brightness of God's glory. He's the express image of his person. Okay, you can't get. As we look at Jesus, we're seeing what God is like. Now, I want to just take the rest of our time there, just to look at these verses and think about how Jesus reveals the Father. How does he reveal the Father? How is it possible? How can he reveal the Father, with God in heaven? Answer number one. Jesus reveals the Father because he shares the same essence as the Father, okay? So he says in verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Back in chapter 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one, he says, doesn't he? Or back to chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, you children know this, don't you? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what it says, isn't it? So Jesus, God's Son, as the second person of the Trinity, shares the divine nature of God. So that though within the Trinity there are three distinct persons, they're all of the same nature. The old creeds speak about the same substance, the same essence, okay? So they share the same divine being, they share the same divine attributes, they share the same eternal nature. Each person of the Trinity is fully, truly, eternally God. So they're one. There we go. This is hard, isn't it? I mean, it's impossible for us to fully grasp the truth of the doctrine of the Trinity, and we have to bow before it. But you see, this is why it's ultimately in Jesus that that God has revealed himself and made himself known, because it's only in Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, that we can actually see God. It's only Jesus who can fully reveal him to us, because he is God. He too is eternal. He too is almighty. He too is infinite in knowledge and wisdom and glory. Okay? So Jesus isn't some sort of lesser God. He is truly, fully, eternally God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So when we look at Jesus Christ, we're seeing God. He's revealing God to us. Brings us to the heart of the mystery of the Trinity, doesn't it? We know that Father and Son, distinct persons, and yet they're one in every way, in all that they are, in their nature, in their character, in their desires, in their plans, in their works, in their ways. They're one. So that as Philip looked at the Savior, as he watched him, as he listened to him, he could see the Father too. He could hear the Father's voice, because they're one. As we must, it's really important we grasp this, we understand this, we rejoice in it. So that means this, doesn't it, this morning? If our views of God the Father and what he's like differ from what we see Jesus is like in the Gospels, then our view of God's wrong. If we think the God of heaven must be somehow harder and sterner than what we see in Jesus, then our view of God's wrong. We need to change it, don't we? If our view of how God deals with people is different from how Jesus deals with people in the Gospels, then our view of God's wrong, and we need to change our view of God, because Jesus reveals God to us fully. If we see Jesus, we're seeing the Father. And we can easily lose sight of that. We can easily forget that. We see Jesus and yet somehow we have a different view of, oh, God would, you know, we have a different view of how God is. So Jesus can reveal the Father because he shares the same essence as the Father. It's a foundational truth, isn't it, of the church, of the person of Jesus. If you know anything of the history of the early centuries of the church, this was a truth under attack. And who is Jesus Christ? And you have the various creeds and councils where godly people came together and with the Word of God and tracked out what does it mean? Who is Jesus Christ? Well, he's truly, fully God, eternally God, and he reveals God to us. Okay, that's the first thing. Jesus reveals the Father because he shares the same essence as the Father. Secondly, then, Jesus reveals the Father because he speaks the Father's words. Look at verse 10. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The New King James has authority in italics there, but it's, you know, these aren't my own words. They're not just my own words. They're the words of the Father as well. If you just turn over, well, you might not have to turn over your page, but verse 24 of the same chapter, it says, he who does not love me does not keep my words. And it says, and the words that you hear, the words which you hear is not mine, or just mine, we might say, but the Father's who sent me. Do you see that? Verse 24. So what Jesus says, he doesn't ever say in isolation from his Father. The words he speaks are his Father's words, and there's no difference between them. Now, that might not always be true in life, as I said with the picture of Ben and myself and my dad. You know, we might have different opinions on things, and you might ask me a question about something, and I'll answer it in one way, and Ben might answer it in another way, and my dad might answer it in a different way. But not so with Jesus and his Father. The words that Jesus speaks, they're the Father's words. When we hear Jesus speak, oh, we know exactly what the Father's like. So let's think about that. Let's just apply that this morning, okay? Let's listen. Let's listen to the Son. You know, we can ask the question, you know, what does the Father sound like? And the answer is, well, listen to Jesus. It's there. Listen to him warn and rebuke. Listen to Jesus say, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. It will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for you. That's Jesus speaking, isn't it? But we're hearing the voice of the Father. Well, listen to Jesus say, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? Well, they're words of Jesus, aren't they? But that's the Father speaking. Or listen to Jesus look the Pharisees and scribes in the eye and say, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, for you will receive a greater condemnation. Who are we hearing there? Who's speaking? Well, Jesus is speaking, but we're hearing the words of his Father too. So if your view of what the Father sounds like and what he thinks differs from your view of what Jesus says, then your view of the Father's wrong. Or listen to Jesus weep and mourn. You remember Jesus, he looks over Jerusalem, doesn't he, with tears running down his cheeks. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing. That's the voice of Jesus, isn't it? But we're hearing and seeing the heart of the Father. Oh, do you remember back in chapter 11 at the grave of Lazarus? You remember Jesus groaning in his spirit as he sees the weeping and the tears and the effects of sin? You hear that groaning. Who are you hearing? Well, you're hearing the Son, aren't you? But you're hearing the words, the cries, the groans of the Father too. You want to know what God's heart's like? Listen to his Son. Or listen to Jesus call and plead. Listen to Jesus say, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And you're hearing the Father, aren't you? You're hearing the longings and the desires of your Father in heaven, of God in heaven. Well, listen to Jesus deal gently, graciously with sinners. Listen to, do you remember the woman caught in adultery? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And you're hearing the heart of God, aren't you? You're gracious and merciful and kind and ready to forgive. So what are we hearing when we hear Jesus' words? We're hearing the words of the Father. We're discovering exactly what the Father is like, because his words, he doesn't speak on his own authority. He doesn't just say what he wants to say. He's speaking, and what he says is revealing to us the Father in heaven. So we have to ask, is our view of the Father, is our view of God in heaven, does it differ from what we see in Jesus? So just think about those things we've just said. What can we say about the Father? We can say, well, he hates hypocrisy and he's set against self-righteousness and pride, and you don't want to mess with him, but he is gracious and he's gentle, and he loves to save, and he delights in mercy, and he comforts his people, and he's got a heart of longing. He doesn't delight in the death of the wicked, but that they come and believe. You see, we're seeing that, aren't we? That's what we're being revealing. So whenever we listen to the words of Jesus, whenever we read the words of Jesus, we're seeing, we're hearing the Father. The words that I speak are not my own, he says. I'm just speaking my own words. I'm revealing God to you. This is the word from the Father that he wants you to hear. So Philip says, show us the Father. And yet for the last 3 years, he's been hearing the Father's voice every day as he's listened and sat at the feet of Jesus. We need to understand that, don't we? And then, thirdly, he reveals the Father because he does the Father's work. He does the Father's work. Verse 10 goes on, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. So it's not just that what he says reveals the Father, but also what he does and the way he acts. So So we want to, again, do we want to see what God the Father is like? Well, we need to watch his Son. Watch his Son. So let's watch him for a moment together. Let's watch him as he heals the sick and the lame and the leper. As he gives them back their lives and their liberty, and he causes them to rejoice. What are we seeing? We're seeing the heart of the Father, aren't we? We're seeing what our Father's like. The compassion of the Father. You remember the children, that occasion when they let the man down through the roof in front of Jesus, and Jesus, the paralyzed man, and Jesus heals him and forgives him and sends him on his way rejoicing. How do you think Jesus looked at that moment? I mean, we're not told, are we, for sure, but he delights to do that, doesn't he? He delights in mercy. There's going to be a smile on his face, isn't there? As he sees that man going on his way with his bed under his arm. What are we seeing? We're seeing what the Father's like. These works aren't just Jesus' works. He's not just doing them on his own. He's not just making it up as he goes along. He's doing what his Father wants him to do. He's displaying his Father, isn't he? Oh, let's watch him as he goes into the house of a tax collector and sits down and eats with tax collectors and sinners and speaks with them and shares the truth with them. And we say, wow, that's incredible. But what are we seeing? We're seeing the heart of the Father, who comes to sinners like me and you, is willing to come, if you like, into this building with a bunch of sinners like us and meet with us and speak to us. That's what he's like. And the works that Jesus does and the way he acts. And so if you've got a view of God in heaven that's different to that, you need to change your view of God in heaven. Because he's the God who's the friend of sinners, and who comes along and meets with us. Or let's go with Jesus to the temple and watch him. You children know this, don't you? How Jesus goes in and there they are, and they're buying and selling, and he turns over the tables of the money changers, and he makes a whip and he drives out those who are buying and selling, and there's a righteous anger, isn't there? Is he doing that on his own? No, he's doing the works of his Father, and he's revealing his Father to us. And so we go, well, hang on a minute. Oh, this Father in heaven, he's amazing and he's wonderful and he's gracious, but you don't want to mess with him. You've got to come in the right way. You've got to worship him in the right way. And then, of course, where do we supremely see the Father's heart? We see it at the cross, don't we? I mean, let's watch Jesus go to Gethsemane, and then let's watch him walk to the Calvary and die in our place and take our sin and enter the darkness and know the anguish and the pain and the shame and the guilt of that. What's that revealing? That's revealing to us this morning our Father in heaven, the heart of God, isn't it? That's where we see supremely what God's like. Gracious and merciful, righteous and just, who hates sin but delights to show mercy to sinners. So in every way, brothers and sisters and friends here this morning, do you want to know what God's like? What he's really like? Do you want to know what God the Father in heaven is like? Well, every one of us here this morning now knows what to do. Look to Jesus. Everything you need to know about God is seen in him. That's why he's the way, isn't it? And the truth and the life. And you can't come to the Father other than by him, because he reveals the Father to us. So what's the call to us this morning? Well, it's to look to Jesus, isn't it? To trust in him, to run to him, to find forgiveness and pardon and peace with him. What's the application for us as Christians here this morning? Well, it's to find that joy and that delight in the fact that as we look at Jesus and as we see him act and as we see him deal with people and as we hear his words, we're seeing what our Father's like. He's revealing to us the heart of God. That's why we constantly need to look to him, isn't it? Have our gaze on Jesus, fix our eyes on him,
and know that everything we need is found in Jesus Christ. That's what John's showing us, isn't it? That's what he's teaching us. That's what he's bringing us to know. So we look to him and we rejoice in this wonderful, amazing, glorious Savior. God has made himself known in the most wonderful, gracious way. Have you looked to him? Have you trusted him? If not, come to him this morning. Look to Jesus. Cry to him. He's the one who's able to bring you to God.